straight to the sermon right now. It is the new year, and sometimes on these special occasions, like Christmas and like New Year's and Easter, Resurrection Sunday, we tend to make these days somewhat more special than others, but really they're all special, aren't they? Especially as you begin to add years and birthdays to your resume, as I just did, you start to realize it's not even the years anymore that we're necessarily happy to celebrate. We're happy to celebrate a new day. Now, you may not think so as a young person, but and this is what we're going to talk about today. Nobody has any day or any years guaranteed. So I would have you think about that as we're going through the sermon today. And we're going to look at James 4, 13 through 15. It's what I read to you a minute ago. I'm going to read it again, but hopefully you'll allow it to kind of sink in a little bit. Start to provoke some thinking, some considerations on your part. And I think then maybe we'll have a greater understanding of what James, as he was inspired by the Holy Spirit to pen these words, what he wanted us to consider. So it says this, and we can stand for a minute as we read God's word. Join me, and we honor God's word. This is God's word. It says, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet, you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that." Let's go ahead and pray for the sermon. Father, once again, we thank you for this time, this morning. We ask, Lord, your blessing. We ask, Lord, that you speak to our hearts. Enrich us, Lord, with your truth and your word, Lord. Let it bring life into our hearts. And our prayer, Lord, is that we would open our hearts and we would be willing to receive what you have for us. We thank you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. This, those of you that have been here a little while, you know that there are certain occasions where, like Mother's Day or Father's Day, there are certain sermons that I like to preach again. And reason is because I put a lot of time and study into some of these passages that I share with you. They never come out the same. That's what's strange about it. The truth hidden and found in these verses, somehow, some way, we get a different perspective. So I'm kind of excited to see what the Lord's going to do here. So we're here, we're going to give thanks to God for another year of life. 2018 is almost over, right? And it's going to become part of history, right? So how did it go? There's a quiet crowd here. Good, you're thinking. What do you think about it when you reflect on 2018? How did your life change? You know, maybe for some of you, you may want to forget it. Right? Maybe for some of you, you're thinking in your heads, thank God. Thank God 2018 is over. Right? Or maybe, possibly, there are others of you who are thinking, as I asked, you know, how, when, and how did your life change? And maybe some of you had a great year, and you're saying, let's do it again. Right? Repeat. So this is the question I would have you to think about this morning. And the question is designed to be a filter so that you can take today's message and allow it to kind of filter through your heart and your mind, and then maybe at the end, something good will happen because you were here today. Now, did everything turn out like you imagined? Did everything turn out how you wanted or how you planned? Did it all go like you thought it would? So as we go and look ahead towards 2019, certainly there are plans and there are desires that you may have and wish will happen. Yet, based on the text that we read this morning, and have you focus in on that line that says, yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. Nobody knows. And that's why we like Chinese fortune cookies. Every time I go to the Dragon House, I open up that cookie and it says, you will become prosperous and good looking. And I'm thinking, well, I'm already good looking, so I guess the only thing good left for me is to be prosperous. Or there are those who, and we don't read newspapers anymore, but back in the day, there was a page for, the astrology and for you to read your sign or, for instance, I'm told based on the calendar that I'm a Sagittarius, right? If I were to ask you, you would probably say you're. And you may read those, right? And you may find out that coincidentally and randomly some things are true, but a lot of it isn't, because it isn't. That's why. No, the stars don't have your life written in them. And of course, there's, now that, we're living in really unpredictable times, you drive by and you'll see that somebody is announcing that you can get a reading on your palms, and or maybe there's some kind of a crystal ball that, especially more now that the Hispanic population is getting more, has more of an impact on our society, hechicería, which is kind of witchcraft, and then supposedly they can clean you up, and I don't know, I hear they like throw at you rosemary with garlic and chicken beaks. I don't know how that does it. You throw in a little bag and some kind of weird branches, I don't know, eucalyptus / oak, who knows. You guys know this stuff actually happens, right? Does anybody here say, no, Pastor, you're wrong? No, you can't. This is what people are doing to try and gain some kind of idea about their futures. It's really weird. The way I gave it to you sounds kind of ridiculous, doesn't it? And at some point, absurd and funny, because it is ridiculous, absurd and funny. There's no truth to it. Newsflash. There is no truth to it. This verse is telling us that I read to you, that we're looking at and considering this morning. So, I'm asking you, if everything turned out like you imagined, like you wanted, like you planned, and maybe you're thinking, or you have, even for the new year, 2019, resolutions. Who are the resolutions? You resolve to, this is what you're resolving to do. Last year, I resolved to lose 20 pounds. This year, 30. Because I gained 10. You know what I mean? I don't know. we have these ideas in our head of what we want our lives to be. And at some level, that's fine. But I think at a deeper level, we need to consider what these verses are telling to us. I also wanted to be 6'2", and I'm still 5'6". I don't know how that works. I started wearing heels, but I tripped too much, so I stopped. Anyway, this particular verse here in James tells us, yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. Nobody does. That is, with the exception of one person, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He knows what tomorrow will bring. I like what it's saying here because, and what I would want you to do is we're kind of beginning to understand where this is going. I think what we can, and my recommendation for you is that you would consider to committing everything to the Lord's will this year. That you would offer and surrender all of your plans, your dreams and desires, and the purposes of your life into the hands of the one who has control of the future. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's my invitation. Because all I can do is invite you to consider it. I can't do it for you. I wouldn't even try to. Because ours is a faith that requires that you believe in the goodness of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you believe in His sovereignty, that you believe in His compassion, that you believe in His provision, that you believe in His ability to guide you, to bless you, to make every consideration to your individual needs and meet them and fulfill them always. And what's best for you. That's the secret, is that you know the one who is that is Jesus Christ, and you give your life to Him out of a free will because you know that He's loving and you know that He's trustworthy. And He's sovereign. What does that mean? That He is in complete control of every detail of not only your life, but of this world and universe, that the universe itself revolves around His will and purposes. That it's not just coincidental, that it's not just accidental when something good happens to your life, but it's actually God's will for your life. So this is kind of what I thought we would do today. This particular verse talks to us about someone who is saying, verse 13, the following: today and tomorrow we will go into such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. This is a reference to the commerce of the day and the businessmen of the day as James is observing their way that they live. There are some that would say that, and these people appear to have tremendous confidence in what they're going to do because they think they have their future all worked out and calculated. They believe that they have made every consideration and have everything resolved. They think, I mean, who's going to stop us? This is the tone of what James is trying to tell us. The merchants of the day were inspiring James, and he gives us a warning, right? Because they did business throughout all the Mediterranean and all the countries there, and they were careful and cautious in their planning and in their business plans. But James is saying, yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. And I'm not trying to say that we shouldn't have confidence about the future. I'm just saying is that they believe that they have everything under control without God. That's the direction I think that he's trying to get us to see and consider this morning. The Apostle James, right? They got it all figured out. And we can take it from them and what James was writing about. And let's just take a moment as we do a little pastoring right now, what about you? What do you believe to be? Or do you consider, for instance, that you have your future all worked out and calculated? You've got your plans that you're going to do this and do that. Because here we see that there is an assumption that they control the events and the timing of their business transactions and lives. Notice how this works. They talk about today or tomorrow, so they think they got control of time. Today I'm going to do this, and tomorrow I'm going to do this. So they think they control time. Well, I can't even get out of the shower fast enough and go to work on time, much less control all the events of my life. Thank God I only live 5 minutes away. But time is an area where sometimes we presume to have complete control of it. But we know that's not true. They think they have control of their plans or the purposes of their lives because they say literally, we will go. Notice that? We will go. So time, today and tomorrow, they're referring to control of time. Purpose or will, we will go. Right? And then the places to where they will go. So geographically, they think they have control to go to this city or that city. You see that? And their goals. And they're going to carry on their business. What are they going to do once they get there? They're going to trade. We're going to trade there. We're going to carry on with our businesses and our plans. And we're going to make money. Right? Make a profit. So their goals, they think they have control of. And their compensation for their efforts, they think they have control of. How many of us have made great efforts and invested a lot of time and those things never came to fruition? They never accomplished anything. We lost time. Right? Their attitude is that they know what tomorrow holds. But yet, this particular passage tells us that our lives are nothing but a vapor or a mist that are here for a little while and then vanishes. It's like the fog in the morning. It's there in the morning, we got to drive through it, but then in the afternoon, it's gone. That's what James, as he was inspired by the Holy Spirit, wants us or warns us to consider about our lives, that it literally is here and then is gone. It's kind of like my head. Hair today, gone tomorrow. Hair today. Oh, you guys are so slow. Right? What happened to it? If you knew me in the 70s, you would not know me today. I kind of had hair like Adriana. Adriana, wave. I was a hippie. What, you guys never heard of them? My watch just said, please tell me again. I'm not. We don't know about tomorrow. But this doesn't mean that we shouldn't actually plan. This doesn't mean that we shouldn't try and set up and have an idea of what our futures may be. The idea here from the Bible is that human life should be totally dependent upon God and that we're completely incapable of standing in the future without His will being accomplished. Right? James is not telling us that we shouldn't be planning for our lives. That's not what he's doing. What he's talking about is self-sufficiency. What he's talking about here is self-importance in planning our lives, but keeping God out of those plans, not considering what He wants. There's nothing wrong with being wise businessmen, but it is something wrong with planning that leave God out, right? They're making and living their lives as if God didn't exist. That's what he's referring to. We should live our lives. And my favorite verse in the Bible from Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. The point here is that we should acknowledge him first, and we should consider and ask, is this what you want for my life? Because after all of life revolves around him. He is life. Jesus said, I am the life. I am the truth. That's the point. If the Lord wills, should condition all the plans that we make. That's what it's telling us in our passage. Instead of us saying we're going to do this and that tomorrow, today, we're going to make a profit, consider that our lives is like a mist. It could just disappear. However, we ought to say what we should do and our thinking should be is what he's saying here. If the Lord wills, if the Lord permits, if the Lord allows, we will live and do this and do that. You guys see the difference? That's the way to live. Because I can tell you right now that his will for you is first and foremost to give you life and to give you life more abundantly. His will for you is that you have all of your needs met. Not your wants, your needs. His will for you is that your life be a life of purpose and a life that brings honor and glory to him. He has a plan for you. And there can never be anything better than that plan. He created you with gifts and abilities and all of what you are as a human being. He formed you in his image. And you can live all your life living in this vicious circle going nowhere. Always wondering why you don't feel satisfied. Always wondering if and saying to yourself, it could be better. Why isn't it? Because you're outside of his will. The best place to live is in the middle, dead smack, in the center of his will. Then you will find what you're looking for. Say, how do you know all this, Pastor? Because I lived many years outside his will. And there was always a hunger. And there was always a thirst. There was always this sensation that it wasn't quite enough of whatever it is that my life was. Something was missing. Something was just not right. And I knew it deep down in my soul. And it wasn't until that day, and there are those of you here that can confirm this by your own personal testimonies, that it wasn't until that day when you acknowledged him. It wasn't until that day until you offered to him all of your dreams and thoughts and desires and plans and purposes. Until that day when you surrendered to him that you found this to be true. Amen? This is what's going on here. Nothing wrong with planning. But there's everything wrong with making our plans as if though we are in control of our lives. No, we're not. And you know it. Excuse me. This is where you know I'm right. But not me, what's being said here. You know you have no control of your life. You know that sometimes your life is tossed to and fro like the wind is just, you're just going one way and another way and you just have absolutely, totally out of control. You know it if Christ isn't the center of your life. And you're trying to find a way to rein it in. You're trying to find a way to get control of it. Some of us can't even... Well, you ever heard the phrase, stop the merry-go-round, I want to get off? You can get off the madness of this world by just simply asking the Lord Jesus Christ to take your life. You can step off the merry-go-round. And it all it requires of you is a decision. Man, how can I change my life? I want to change my life. I don't like the direction it's going in. It's empty. It's void. There's a thirst. There's a hunger in my heart. You know how you do it? It's called repentance. Repentance is a very simple concept. In the New Testament, it's a picture of soldiers marching in a certain direction. They're going that way. Repentance means that you come to a place where you say, I don't want to go that way anymore. And you literally stop. It's a decision. You turn and go 180 degrees and you start going another way. Because that is a gift that Christ has given us. If we put our trust in Him, He stops us in our tracks. Our heart's desire is we need and we want to change. We don't know how. He, once you decide, will give you the power to follow Him. You can't do it on your own. He will help you. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He said to His disciples, I will send you a comforter. What is that? One who will walk alongside of you. He will walk alongside of you. You're not in this alone. You don't have to figure it out. You don't have to analyze. Man, what a torture that is. My problem is I'm a thinker. This is me at night, you know, sometimes. I don't want to do. And I look at this through in the morning. And nothing has been resolved, but yet I'm tired. That's before I knew Christ. Some of us don't want to think about it. That the direction of our lives, or the meaning of our lives, or what our lives are, so we'll temporarily forget about it by drinking or taking drugs, right? Self-medicating. It's a huge problem. I'll just drink enough to where I won't remember for a moment, or where I get knocked out, passed out. And the only problem is you wake up in the morning and you wish you never did what you did, or you don't even remember what you did. That's not a way to live. We have a huge problem in our culture right now with drugs. I'm not talking about alcohol and I'm not talking about marijuana. I'm talking about stuff that's serious. Or people will try and find satisfaction in other places. Promiscuous lifestyle. Shopping. You got nothing but debt. They won't give you another credit card because you got them all to the max. And you can't even make the payment. I'm not making this stuff up, or is this true? You're finding satisfaction in all these other things, but they never will ever satisfy you. If I could have the newest car, yeah, you'll be out there waxing it for about 2 months, and then that car don't matter anymore, right? Or it's got to be clothing. It's got to be the latest and the greatest or whatever, you know, the shoes. I mean, that's... I know some of you ladies in here got a problem with shoes. You know you spend all your time in Ulta. Makeup, that's what's going to make the difference. Guys, got that gym membership. Just if I could just be looking good, you know, if I had a little bit more, you know, of a body. Haven't been in a gym since the first month. And it's only been 10 years. What am I trying to say? All of these things relate to what James is trying to tell us, that we have no idea. We have no way of actually making things work out our way. But we should say, if the Lord wills, in everything we do or say. That's what I like about the Spanish culture. They say to me all the time, okay, we'll see you on Wednesday, Bible study. Si el Señor permite, if the Lord allows or permits. And I say, the Lord permits. Don't be using if the Lord permits as an excuse for why you don't come. I'll see you on Sunday. Nos vemos el domingo si el Señor permite. Well, the Señor permite. It's you that don't permite. It's a common thing in Spanish. We don't say it in English as much. If the Lord wills, we'll see you on Sunday. Well, the Lord wills. Do you will? See, there's a tremendous gift that God has given us. And that gift can either be a great blessing to us or a curse. And that's called free will. You cannot blame anybody for the condition or the status or the state of your life. You can only blame yourself. Oh, it's easy to blame others. You did this, you didn't do that. No. You're accountable to God for you. You're not responsible for anybody else's changes. You're only responsible for yours. You will not stand before God and say, my wife or my brother or my parents, I know the psychology. I have a degree in psychology. Adam and Eve didn't have parents. Who do they blame for their mistakes and sins? They lived in a perfect environment, a paradise, if you will. You couldn't have asked for more. They had everything you could possibly need as a human being. God made it perfect. And yet they disobeyed. Why? Because they used their free will the wrong way. They used it to choose to disobey the warnings and the commands that God made. They had everything. All that was asked of them is don't touch that one tree with its fruit. Why would God ever give them that temptation? Because free will is the gift that we've been given. And how do you express free will if you don't have a choice? How do you love if you don't have a choice? You cannot force it. Otherwise, you're a slave or a robot. Right? So God gave us free will so that we can express of our own volition choices and determinations and decisions. And his gift to us would be a one in which he would hope that we would choose what's best for us. And what's best for us? That we say, if the Lord wills, not my will, but your will be done. See, Jesus, when he sat and prayed in Gethsemane hours before the cross, understanding what awaited him, the pain and the suffering, and understanding, too, that the redemption of mankind weighed heavy on his own shoulders because he had made the decision before the foundation of the earth was ever established to be the sacrifice for the sins of the world. And yet he was there hours before in the Garden of Gethsemane praying. So heavy was the stress that he bled little drops of blood off his forehead. And yet, as he wrestled with the idea of fulfilling the Lord's will, he said, oh, Lord, if it's possible that this cup pass, meaning if it's possible that your will for me pass, then, hey, is there like a plan B? And basically what he would say is the flesh is weak, yes, but the spirit is willing. Not my will be done, but yours. Why could he do that? Because he had made up his mind. Now, you have the freedom to choose whatever path you want. But when you suffer the consequences of picking the wrong path, then that's on you. You cannot blame anybody else. But when you choose to say yes to Jesus, when you choose to trust him and follow him, then the blessings are yours because he's giving you that option. He gives us a choice. Before he came and went to Calvary's cross, we had no choice. We were all condemned we were all going down the path to destruction because that's the consequence of sin. Sin is death. But he came to give us life. And he says, I give you the two doors to choose from, the door that leads to death or the door that leads to life. Because he said in one place, I am the door. And all that's required on our part. And the only thing we can do, the only thing we can do, and the only part we have in our salvation is the step of faith and using our free will and saying, yes, I accept what you offer me. I take that invitation and I receive it to myself. Or not. That's the amazing thing about it. You don't have to. But you will answer for it one day and you will have to give an account. But oh, if you say yes, you start a new life right now in Christ. And an adventure, because he will take you down a path that you could never imagine. He will open doors and blessings to your life that you never knew possible. But you've got to surrender your will and say, if the Lord wills. As if you want. How can we put this in modern terms? Hey, you know, when somebody invites me to do something, recently someone invited me to go to Mount Rudo, climb the hill there, and I said, I'm in. What does that mean? I'm in. Yes. It means yes. However way you can say it. Okay. Plan on me being there. That's all he's looking for. Once you do that, you enter into a new life. A life that has complete satisfaction. A life where you have a way to resolve your difficulties and your problems. A life in which you don't longer have to carry your burdens. A life of hope. A life of joy. A life of peace. Love. That's what he offers. Why would you turn it down? Because I guarantee you, because this is how it's designed, I guarantee you, your way's not working. I guarantee it is. His way is the way. And notice I say the way, and that's capital W-A-Y. So, this morning, declare your dependence. Wait a minute, aren't we supposed to declare our independence? Nope, it's the opposite in his kingdom. You declare your dependence on him. You say, Lord, I depend on you. Now, how's this done? You do it in your heart by yourself in a secret compartment of your heart. That's between you and him. Not between you or anybody else. Between you and him. It's a personal relationship between you and him. He'll work it out. Oh, my goodness, has he worked it out with me? He chose a tough cookie when he chose me. But he's broken me down every single time. Now, because of my stubbornness, I've had to live sometimes years in a vicious circle of going nowhere until I finally figured out the problem was I was saying no. And when I would say yes, everything changed. Isn't that true? Am I the only one that's wrestled with God? Ricardo, have you wrestled with God? You have? Oh, I feel better already. What about you, George? Maritza? Yeah, it's part of the journey. We wrestle with him because we have free will. But we also have his will. And so he is a loving, patient God in which he works with us. He works with us. When he deals with us, he's long-suffering. But every time, he gets us where he wants us. I don't think there's anything more I have to say. And that's odd. Maybe the new year will be different. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you because your word through James has shown us something so important. And thank you, Lord, that we know, Lord, that we have nothing guaranteed. We're totally relying and depending on you. Oh, we think we do. And because we think we do, we delay receiving your blessings. So my prayer, Lord, is with the help of the Holy Spirit this morning that you would go beyond what my words can do and that you would penetrate into the depths of each and every one of our souls and resolve this year, Lord, in our lives that we will choose your will over our own. Help us, Lord, to experience how wonderful life can be when we surrender it to you. Thank you. Thank you for giving us a choice. My prayer, Lord, is that each and every one of us would make the right one. For Christ's honor and glory, we ask these things. Amen.